Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Circuit Court of the 18th Judicial Circuit in and for Seminole County, Florida, State of Florida versus George Zimmerman. Verdict, we the jury find George Zimmerman not guilty. So say we all, four person.
So that was what happened last Saturday night. Florida man George Zimmerman found not guilty in the tragic death of Florida teen Trayvon Martin. I think maybe a lot of people might have been pleasantly surprised by this verdict. I know I was. Really thought that he was going to get some time, some jail time for this incident. And like I said, was really kind of surprised that he didn't. Very pleasantly surprised, because this was a man who did nothing but defend himself and defend his life as he was having the tar beat out of him by somebody who was probably 6 or 7 inches taller than he was, and maybe was in a whole lot better shape physically and was much younger. So, and now the circus has started. I am your host. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. TGIF, as always, it is Friday night, 10:30 Central Time, and where else would you be but right here listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio, because that is the place to be on Friday night. Oh my gosh, I am so weighed down with stuff, and I really promise that this show is not going to be all George all the time, because quite frankly, as happy as I was about this verdict, because I do believe it was the right verdict, I do believe that justice has been served. And if you watch the mainstream media for like 5 seconds, maybe 10 or 20, if you do have that opinion, you're going to think that you're in the minority. And all the polls have showed that the majority of the American people think that George Zimmerman was doing nothing but defending himself and defending his life. You know, this kid was on top of him, beating the crap out of him, broke his nose. What else was he going to do? I guess he was supposed to just sit there and take it. I don't know. Apparently that's what, well, you know, the usual suspects on the left. You have your Jessies, and you have your Al's, and you have your Obamas, and you have your Eric Holders, and the list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, it seems. Of course, you had all of the, what I wrote about over at the Conservative Cauldron blog last week, the race vampires, as I like to call them. Because, you know, when you think about it, that's really who they are. And when I say that, well, yeah, I am talking about Barack Obama and Eric Holder, because they have done their share of race vampiring lately. The president, in fact, just a few hours ago today, and I'll get to that in a second, But, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have become very wealthy men in the race baiting industry. And when you think about it, they really are race vampires, because every year, every couple of years, a case like this comes along that can be so twisted into everything that it's not. And these two seem to swoop down on wherever this is, be it Florida, California, New York, pick a place. These two vampires kind of swoop in on the whole situation and start feeding on it like vampires. They get their fangs into the whole situation and get everybody all ginned up, get everybody all revved up, and they just keep feeding on that situation until they suck it dry. And they've gotten everybody properly ginned up. Tomorrow apparently everyone's going to be outraged. I guess they were outraged last week, but tomorrow they're going to be really outraged. They've been saving it all up. And so they swoop in on these situations, and they, like I said, they just feed on them like vampires and suck them dry. And when they can't get any more traction out of the whole situation, they can't get any more traction out of the whole story, then they just kind of move on down to the next situation that they can sink their vampire teeth into. And that's what they are. They're race vampires. They're race baiters. And I really think that at first maybe people did expect some outrage from people, because not everybody's going to agree that this was the right verdict. And so I think that people did expect some of that. But, you know, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I'm not going to tell you how long my lifetime has been. Not that long. But I've just never seen people have died from the verdict in this case. There have been murders. There have been children who have been killed. A grandmother in Houston, Texas this week was trying to get her granddaughter to a hospital. She was having an asthma attack. People would not, there were protesters in the streets that would not let this woman by to get her daughter to a hospital. And when she rolled her window down to try to explain the situation to somebody in the crowd that maybe had an ounce of compassion and an ounce of common sense, somebody smacked her for her trouble. There's been murders. There was a horrible, grisly murder in Knoxville, Tennessee. A young couple was brutally murdered by four African-American men. I will spare you all the gory details, but you can go and look it up online. And it's not a pretty story. It's very, very ugly. These two are very brutally murdered. And these four individuals were saying, "This is for Trayvon," as they were doing what they were doing to this couple. And like I said, it's not a pretty picture. But if you really do want to hear the story here, you can go online and look it up. Like I said, it was a young couple in Knoxville, Tennessee. But there have been story after story after story of crimes being committed like this. And it's just, people are out of control. And I think that anyone who has lost a loved one over this, I think anyone in George Zimmerman or anyone in his family, if anyone is hurt, I think they're going to have plenty of people to place some blame on. And President Obama may be just one of them. He made a speech in the White House press room earlier today and basically put a big, huge wedge between white and black America, I think. He talked about how he, 35 years ago, could have been Trayvon Martin. Okay, so had you had a cell phone 35 years ago, there would have been pictures of stolen jewelry and drugs on it. You know, if that's the case, then, I'm sure there's a lot of people who question the fact that he should be president, but that would open a whole other can of worms now, wouldn't it? It was just a very divisive speech. It was taking sides. And, you know, I don't think that anybody is going to say that just because you become the president of the United States, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, conservative or liberal, people have their opinions about things. But when you hold that office, it's a very exclusive club, and you have to be extremely careful about the words that come out of your mouth. All presidents will tell you that, like I said, be they Republican or Democrat, somebody's going to jump on it. And to be this divisive and to be this to be taking sides the way he did. It's just it sets a very dangerous precedent for this country when you have a sitting president that's going to take sides. And we know that we have not heard the last of this case. Eric Holder and his minions over at the Department of Justice, even after 16 months of investigation by the FBI, some 40 witnesses interviewed about George Zimmerman's third grade teacher and anything else that they can get their hands on, every shred of this man's life has been put through the ringer and put under the microscope to see if there's just any ounce, just one sliver of anything that might be remotely racist in this man's background in his life. And, you know, I really think at this point, where does it end? Because right now you have a man who, they, Al Sharpton and his gang got everything they wanted. They said they wanted their day in court. They got their day in court. They wanted George Zimmerman arrested. He was arrested. They had a trial. They got a trial. They got a verdict. The problem is that it was not the verdict that they wanted, and so now it's like children throwing a temper tantrum. When they don't get what they want, they jump up and down and yell and scream. That's exactly what is going on right now. And so, but at what point does this man get his life back? Nobody is going to gloss over the fact that there's a teenager who is dead, and we all find that tragic, and we all find that sad. We will never know maybe what Trayvon Martin would have grown up to be. And that is tragic and that is sad. And our hearts go out to his parents. No parent should have to bury their child, regardless of the circumstances. But at what point is the federal government going to let go of this man and give him what's left of his life back? He's going to have to look over his shoulder for the rest of his life, that's for sure. We know that. But at what point does he get what's left of his life back right now and try to live it as best as he can? He's like I said, he's going to be looking over his shoulder. He's going to have to get death threats for the rest of his life. And so it'll be interesting to see what exactly Eric Holder and the Department of Justice think they're going to do here. I think there's a little bit of double jeopardy to be had here, but, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's been a very stressful week, and I think it's been a very stressful week for the nation because this whole situation, it's tragic, and it's gotten ugly at times. And, you know, while Al Sharpton is marching around talking about justice, I have a poll here from back on July 3rd, the Rasmussen poll, which are fairly decent polling outlets. And does Americans consider blacks more likely to be racist than whites and Hispanics in this country? 37% of American adults think most black Americans are racist, according to a new Rasmussen report national telephone survey. Just 15% consider most white Americans racist, while 18% say some of most Hispanic Americans. There is a huge ideological difference on this topic. Among conservative Americans, 49% consider most blacks racist, and only 12% see most whites that way. Among liberal voters, 27% see most white Americans as racist, and 21% say the same about black Americans. From a partisan perspective, 49% of Republicans see most black Americans as racist, along with 36% of unaffiliated adults and 29% of Democrats. Among black Americans, 31% think most blacks are racist, while 24% consider most whites racist, and 15% view most Hispanics that way. Among white adults, 10% think most white Americans are racist, 38% believe most blacks are racist, and 17% say most Hispanics are racist. Overall, just 30% of all Americans now rate race relations in the United States as good or excellent. 14% describe them as poor. 29% think race relations are getting better, while 32% believe they are getting worse. 35% feel they're staying about the same. So, those are the numbers, and, you know, you can take them for what they're worth. And I'm going to go to a break here. Like I said, I'm getting so tired of talking about this topic. And I think people all around, black and white and everything in between, I think they're getting tired of it too. But as I go to break here, you know, it's so nice to have a white leader like Chris Matthews apologize for me.
We got to continue this conversation, gentlemen, privately or on television. I mean, a lot of people out there. I'll just tell you one thing, and I'm speaking now for all white people, but especially people who have tried to change the last 50 or 60 years, and a lot of them have really tried to change, and I'm sorry for this stuff. That's all I'm saying. Val Nicklaus, thank you, and Michael Steele, thank you, gentlemen,
for being
colleagues of mine. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thank you, Chris Matthews, for apologizing for me because I don't know any better. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. Welcome back. I am your host, Becky Noble. I'm really glad that everybody could join me tonight. As you all know, we've had a very busy week, a very stressful week, very emotional week, what with the Zimmerman verdict and the protesting and the all of the people that have been shot in Chicago that Al Sharpton apparently doesn't give a damn about, but, you know, we've got lots of other things going on here. Like I said, I am not going to make this all George all the time here tonight. You know, we had the new Rolling Stone issue come out this week, and on the cover of the new Rolling Stone this week was a picture of the surviving Boston bomber, Joker, whatever you want to pronounce his name, Tsarnaev, on the cover. And you know, the cover reminded me of Tiger Beat magazine. When I was a young thing, 13, 14, in that age range there, the big deal among preteen girls such as myself was to read Tiger Beat magazine, because Tiger Beat magazine always had Sean Cassidy and the Bay City Rollers and, oh gosh, who else? Leif Garrett and the Osmonds and all those completely dreamy guys from the 70s that are, well, they're all old guys now. But, you know, when you look at the picture that they had on the front of this magazine, that's what I thought to myself. The first time I saw the cover of this magazine, I thought, what is this, like the latest issue of Tiger Beat? I mean, it's like, it's a glamour shot. It is a glamour shot of a guy who killed and maimed hundreds of people. And you know, you already have people standing outside of the courthouse in Boston holding up signs that say exonerate Joker Tsarnaev and let him go and free him and all these things. And the majority of these people that are standing outside the courthouse are girls who think he's hot. You know, note to Boston girls who think that Boston Bomber is hot. Get a life. This guy killed and maimed people, and he should not be glamorized. And the response from Rolling Stone, from one of the editors, was that Joker Tsarnaev fit the age group that Rolling Stone tries to gear itself to. The young crowd, the 18 to, I guess, oh, it probably doesn't include me, the 18 to maybe 30, 35, 40 crowd who are hip and they're into music and they're into all the latest music, the latest trends, the latest this and the latest that. And so he fits into their age group that they're trying to reach. And, you know, it was almost like a human interest story. It was, excuse me, like they were, you know, what drove this poor, twisted individual to do the things that he did? All of his classmates and all of his friends thought that he was just like them, and what went wrong? And you know what? Nobody cares what went wrong, because he killed people and he blew legs and arms and limbs off of people. So when that happens, people cease to care what went wrong. All they care about is that he's going to pay for what he's done, and that he's going to go to jail for a really long time. And you know what? Hopefully, nobody in jail will think he's as pretty as the girls outside. So there's that. And we also had, I found this tonight. It was, maybe it's kind of a, you need a little, something a little light after this week of, you're a racist. No, you're a racist. No, wait a minute. You're a racist. There's a picture on the front, on the homepage tonight of MSN. You have to click over about three or four of those headline pictures. And it's a picture that was taken by a guy. Forgive me, I don't remember his name. It's up there on the website. But it was taken on July 31st, 1973. And it's a picture that was taken in Mount Clemens, which is a suburb of Detroit. And the guy who took this picture kind of happened on these five kids. I think the youngest one was maybe three or four. The oldest one maybe looks to be about seven or eight. And it had just rained, and the kids are coming through an alley, and they have a shopping cart with them. And what the first thing that you notice about this picture is that it's probably a hot, muggy summer afternoon in Detroit. It's just rained, just storm, so it's probably really humid. If anything like St. Louis, right after it rains, it's a sauna. And these kids are going through the alley. I'm sure this guy probably happened upon these kids, heard them laughing and giggling and joking around and cutting up. And as soon as the kids saw him with the camera, of course, they started posing and mugging for the camera and doing all kinds of silly things that kids do. And so the picture, I really would encourage people to look at it, because it's a really cute picture. And it's just five kids walking through an alley, enjoying their summer and enjoying each other and hanging out. But the best thing about this picture is that three of the kids in the picture are black and two are white. And they've got their arms around each other. They're hugging each other. And like I said, they're laughing and kidding around and cutting up as they're walking through the alley. And then they see this guy with the camera. And, of course, you know, they go nuts. And it's a cute picture. And when I saw it, my first thought was, how did we get from that to this? Maybe somebody smarter than I can explain it. But I would encourage everybody to go on the main homepage there at MSN and look for that picture, because it's a really heartwarming picture, and it'll make you think. It really will. But anyway, let's see. We also had the IRS hearings this week. And apparently these hearings, the agents involved here, it's not just a bunch of rogue agents in Cincinnati. We had a guy named Carter Hull testify before this committee. I believe he was an IRS attorney. He has been with the IRS for about 48 years. He has a lot of experience. And he testified that he was told by someone in the administration to look into these Tea Party groups and conservative groups and to pass along their 501c3 and 501c4 applications to Washington. And we have not yet gotten to the bottom of this because there is the usual stonewalling and, word my mother used to like to use, gold bricking, which is an equivalent of stonewalling. Stonewalling and gold bricking and anything having to do with stones and bricks and delaying the whole process is being done right now. But it's pretty much like we expected that this just did not start out with a bunch of rogue agents who felt like doing whatever the hell they wanted to do, and it all originated out of an office in Cincinnati. It comes from Washington, and it comes from high up, and we all knew that. And so we have yet to find out just exactly how high up it does go. I'm sure we all have our suspicions, but we'll wait and see where this goes, because it certainly is not over yet, and there will be more on this most definitely in the week to come. Let's see, what else? Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, has announced that she is going to run for the Senate in Wyoming. And right now she's kind of got an uphill battle. She's down by a lot of percentage points, but, you know, it's really early in the game. So we wish her luck and we wish her the best, and maybe she can pull it off, and that would be pretty cool to have a Senator Liz Cheney in Washington to be working for us. Let's see, what else here? Oh, unions now all want out of Obamacare. Isn't that delicious? Apparently, James Hoffa Jr. sent a letter last week to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi saying, look, you know, we helped get you guys elected, and then we helped you guys get reelected, and we expected a little favor. We expected a little palm greasing and scratching your back and you scratching mine. And we thought that maybe we knew this was a train wreck, and so we thought that maybe you guys would let us out of it. And that doesn't seem to be happening, and not happening. And now they're realizing that their employees are having their hours cut, they're having their benefits cut drastically, their pensions cut. And speaking of that, oh, Detroit. Well, all we have to do now is look at Detroit. And the only thing I'm going to say about Detroit tonight is that this is what 60 years of a city being run by liberal Democrats will get you. It is a textbook example, and it's really all you need to know. But they are also having union troubles, the retirees, the public union employees. There's a lot of pension problems going on right now because of the bankruptcy. And also, unions don't want anything to do with Obamacare. So that's a big it's a big deal. And that just happened yesterday. So we're just at the beginning of that whole train wreck. So we will see. Also, in the coming week, we'll be hearing a lot more on. I do have an update on the Remkes, the German family who emigrated to the United States so that they can homeschool their children because it is illegal in Germany. They had been granted asylum here in the United States, and Eric Holder decided that he didn't like that and was trying to have them deported. Well, their case is going to be heard by the Supreme Court. No word on exactly when, but it will be heard. So as soon as I know anything more about that, I will pass it on and let you know. But there is some hope there for this family who all they want to do is live here in the United States and homeschool their children. Anyway, I'm about out of time. It's time for me to go. I am glad that everybody thanks for listening. Please look for me at the Conservative Cauldron blog, the thing that started it all. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. I am on Twitter at PatriotWitch, and please look for all of my articles on examiner.com. And from time to time, you can find some of my writings on watchdogwire.com as well. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to me tonight. Thanks for hanging out. And I'm sure we will be hearing a lot about all these other things in the coming weeks, so be sure to listen in again next week. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Everybody have a great week. See you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.